So Brad is on the line. Hi, Brad. How are you today?
I am. You are.
I am, too. And
yeah.
I'm over the moon about this book. I couldn't put it down. I could not stop reading. I had to finish it. I stayed up late. You know, didn't take me too long, but nonetheless, it went past my bedtime, and I couldn't sleep. And even after I finished reading it, I couldn't sleep because I had so much to think about. Your book brought so much to my mind and gave me so much to consider. I really want you to share some more with our listeners and our readers. And with that in mind, I see that you've got an excerpt that you're willing to share with us. Would you be so kind as to take a couple minutes and read it to us?
Well, the one I sent to you?
You bet.
Before, you mean?
Yeah.
I had been invited to share with a small group in Portland, Oregon, the couple in their 70s who were hosting the meeting had experienced physical healing a few weeks earlier. She had an acute and life-threatening heart condition, and he was virtually blind, but had vision fully restored. I'm going to stop there for just a second and explain to you that over his computer, he had one of these magnifying screens that sat out about an inch from the screen.
Sure.
That everything he had that came on that screen was like the letters were an inch high. I mean, we're talking magnifying. Plus, he had his nose right up next to the screen with these thick glasses that are look like the bottom of Coca-Cola glasses. So that's what we're talking about, virtually blind. He couldn't see anything. Couldn't, hadn't been able to drive for several years and so forth. Okay. They wanted to invite some people to their home for healing, among which was a woman in an advanced stage of leukemia. I was fasting and praying in preparation. I was lying on the floor, face down in my office, praying in the spirit, when I heard what seemed to be an audible voice say, "Would you like to know your real identity?" Startled, I got up off the floor and stood straight up, concerned that I was either hallucinating or having an encounter with something I didn't want. I heard the words again, "Would you like to know your real identity?" I quickly went through a process of testing the spirits that I had learned to make sure that whatever I was hearing wasn't from the dark side, so to speak. I stood there nervously while I heard the same voice ask, "Do you want to know who you really are?" To be completely honest, at that moment I was scared to death. So my real answer was probably, "No, not really." But I said aloud, "Of course." Immediately a copy of the Living Bible, a large green volume on the shelf above my desk, caught my attention. I walked over and pulled it down. I somehow knew I was supposed to open it to the sixth chapter of Genesis. This was early in the 1990s when that particular paraphrased English version was quite popular and widely distributed. The sons of God, in reference earlier in verse 2, had a footnote which explained that those were beings from the spirit world. That's translator had that note in his, right in the Bible. And referenced two other Bible passages, one in Job 1:6, where the sons of God phrase was found with the same footnote that these were beings or angels from the spirit world. The other reference was to Genesis 1:27. Then man was the same root word. In other words, not referring to humans. To say I was perplexed is a gross understatement. "What's this have to do with me?" I stammered. Since this episode came about while I was fervently praying to be filled with God's own spirit, again in preparation for the upcoming healing and deliverance session in Portland, what does this have to do with that? The answer was even more perplexing. "Nothing. This is who you are." I warned you that the story seems bizarre. There's more. Any hope that this will have a widespread audience of mainstream Christians are hereby dashed. In fact, the hope for widespread readership of any mainstream religious or non-religious group is to be likewise diminished, except for you. the heretofore unrecognized again you. You see, here is where I explain my distaste for the three-letter English word G-O-D. Okay, I say, so there it is, the excerpt.
I think this is going to probably send a few of our audience members running in the opposite direction, as it did the first time you heard it, too.
Oh, well.
Right? Your own. I really appreciate the fact that you confess in this excerpt that it made you feel just as uncomfortable as it'll probably make most of our readers feel. So thank you for recognizing that this subject matter is out there. It's quite a bit out there. Getting somebody to acknowledge or think of themselves as a spirit being may be quite a challenge to some, whereas to others, they probably already have arrived there.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. But, you know, before we get deeply into that subject, you reference a process of testing. What process is that?
Oh, my gosh. I was reading kind of vacantly. I don't know what you're making reference to.
Oh, okay. Well, when the voice spoke to you and said, would you like to know your real identity, you state in the next paragraph that you quickly went through a process of testing the spirits that I had learned to make sure that whatever I was hearing wasn't from the dark side. How do you do that?
Yeah, there's specifically. You know, I'm getting a check. I don't think I should answer that other than a very private email to email.
Oh, okay. You don't think that process is something that would be accepted widely, or would?
Oh boy. Yeah, I don't mind saying or being recorded as saying what I just started to say to you, so that they kind of understand where I'm coming from. But I really don't think it ought to be recorded.
Okay, well, then let's just suggest to our audience that if they want to know how Brad tests the spirits and make sure that he's not listening to a voice from the dark side, that they send him an email.
That's fine.
Okay, well, then let's really get on to who you really are. You're referencing a particular passage in Genesis and then again in Job about the sons of God. So I'm basically understanding from your statement that you believe that God or Source told you that you were a son of God, one of the sons of God. Is that correct?
Yeah, one of the spirit beings that it's made reference to, and I was able to talk to a fellow in San Francisco with the Jews for Jesus organization. He pretty much confirmed that's what it is in the Hebrew, that when they say sons of man, is making reference to the descendants of Adam, and the sons of God were the created beings that had been given dominion of the earth. And that when you read that passage referenced in my article or in the book about Genesis 6, it says, and when the sons of God is actually making reference back to that verse in Genesis 1, which is, let us make man in our image, according to the Hebrew, that's not human beings, that's a spirit being. And if you'll open your mind to that and look at the references that are provided there, all of a sudden, it'll make every unanswered question. It'll make so many unanswered or seemingly unanswered questions just come so clear that you have to accept that as at least being a possibility, that this references to God made us, meaning God made these physical body bags and gave us dominion over the earth, is not true. That's not what the Hebrew is saying. Those who have dominion over the earth, over the physical plane, what's going on, are spirit beings.
Okay, and so then you are a spirit being then, is that right?
That's how I took it.
Okay, and so then, in essence, you have dominion over this earth just as much as what you say the Prince of Air, I think it was in our last article or the two articles ago where we talk about the Prince of Air having dominion over this earth. Does that mean that you're under
I realize we're going to get some heat from that.
Well,
that's where I'm coming from. And I think I make a good case for it in the book. You just finished the book. Do I make a good case for it or not?
Well, sure you do. But then the question is always comes from the religious perspective, is that if I string your words together, you're the same as Satan.
Yeah, somebody could make that argument.
Yeah, well, I'm making it. And so what does that do for whether or not we should take you seriously? And on top of that, what's the dark side and the light side if you're the same creation or makeup or made up of the same stuff as he is? What's the dark side? Dark compared to what? You're made up of the same cloth. You're cut from the same piece.
Well, again, you can make a case for that. I'm not going to try to discuss that or argue that point over the phone with you, because it just becomes a weird conversation that settles nothing for people. I think that you were going to make the offer to, or maybe you already did, but make the offer that if anybody wants to know where I'm coming from and related to where they can feel they can come from, I'll get into it on an email on a one-on-one basis.
Okay.
But I don't want to talk about that stuff publicly.
Okay. And I recognize that it's pretty easy to use that sort of stuff to paint a big target on your back and make you the next, maybe, Antichrist.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. My wife said several podcasts ago when we got into some stuff, I don't know, about spirits, and she said, you know, I know because I know you and I know some things that I've seen with my own eyes that you're speaking the truth, but do you have to talk about it publicly? People think we're some sort of fringe group, you know, and you're not really fringe, but that stuff really makes you sound like it. Yes. What can I say?
Yeah, so then it leads me to this question then. So if you're one of the spirits referenced to in the Sons of God in this passage, well, is everybody?
I don't know.
And so how do we find out? I mean, I read your book, but I want to hear it from you.
Well, let's see. How do you find out? I'm pretty sure that what I suggest in the book is that you go directly to our spirit parent, all in caps, source, our mommy, daddy, it loves us and cares for us. And I give you several ways that you can do that. Go directly and say, hey, what am I? Who am I? That's the point. That's in the book, and I did it. That's how I came to the conclusion. Mine was pretty dramatic. You know, I've shared that story a lot of times from a platform, so to speak, to a group of people. And I have been surprised and actually gratified to find out that, you know, a lot of people already knew that about themselves. And, you know, knew it in the context that I'm using it in the book, and that is that understanding all of a sudden that the way that first six chapters of Genesis is interpreted by evangelical Christianity is a bunch of hooey.
Well, that's evangelical Christianity. I think it's just anybody who uses the English translation of the Hebrew Bible.
And what did you say?
Well, any translation that muddies it to the point that it's been muddied, Sons of God, and let us create man in our image. I mean, they're using the same word four times, but it's not the same word in Hebrew at all. So,
exactly.
So anybody who's not reading it in Hebrew would have a challenge understanding it and would require some form of interpretation either by a pastor, priest. But in reality, what you're saying is don't go to that source for an interpretation. Go to the real source. Go to the one who knows.
Exactly.
Right. So this experience of God, the Spirit, talking to you, do you think that that's a commonplace occurrence? Do you think that other people can expect that? Or
I've never found a person who hasn't gone through the process of getting serious about it and making a declaration and saying, Dad, I want your will. I don't care what else. I want your will in my life. And if it's not your will that I hear directly from you, then, you know, at least give me a sign of that hasn't gone to the well in that way, that doesn't wind up hearing. If they really want to hear from God, and not stay muddled and not stay in a state of confusion, they will hear from the source.
Right.
That's a promise Jesus gives. If you can't start there, then go back and sit on the pew and listen to dribble, because that's what you're going to get.
Okay.
One more thing. I might as well go out on a limb here.
Sure.
And I guarantee you, if you go to some man who allows or insists that he is called pastor, you aren't going to get this answer. You're going to get a different answer.
Pardon? What answer do you think they're going to get from someone who calls himself pastor?
The typical Christian explanation for that passage, that it's referring to God, G-O-D, made man, human beings, in his image. And then chapter 2 is just a, you know, kind of a detailed version of the same thing. It's not true. It's different. You get to any Hebrew scholar, particularly a Jewish by birth Hebrew scholar, who has come to the place of believing in the Messiah claims of Christ, of Jesus Christ, agrees with my interpretation. I came up to this by myself, and I outlined the book with that experience I had. Do you want to know your real identity? Well, I was in the middle of probably 10 days at least, longer than that, but I was at least in the 10th day of a fast, meaning not eating any food whatsoever, no supplements, no tea or coffee, only water. And there is a possibility always when you're fasting for that length of period of hallucinating. It comes with the territory. So that's why I said I checked. I tested the spirits, you know. I was really scared to death.
Yeah.
I can remember the experience. It's frightening. You're on a floor. I'm praying. All I want to do is I'm focusing and concentrating on being with a group of people that had the privilege of the host couple, the privilege of seeing the man. Very exciting story. You know, he's blind for all intents and purposes. He can't drive, can't do anything. He is now able to drive. I watched his wife, who was, you know, they're in their 70s, who has really been diagnosed with very severe heart trouble and could die any moment. You know, I mean, she was, I forget what the, you know, technical terms of the diagnosis was, but she was weak and couldn't do any. Man, this woman was now robust. The comical part of this, in this setting that they invited to me, I think there was about a dozen people there in their home, she asked me the question almost up front. She says, why is it that Bill doesn't need glasses even? He's got 20/20 vision, and I still have to wear glasses. I said, well, the way I might interpret that is you didn't really care about being healed as far as your eyesight. You wanted to get your heart right. So maybe it's something you need to talk with Dad about. So anyway, I thought it was very funny at the time. Sorry to get off the subject here.
No problem. That audible experience that you had where the voice sounded like it was right there in the room with you, that's so frightened you. Granted, that would probably startle just about anybody, especially if they felt that they were alone. Does this happen frequently? Has this happened again? Or do you know other people that this audible voice experience has happened to?
I don't know how widespread it is. I know that, I'm not even going to deal with how or what other people do. I believe it's available to everyone. I'm not sure I want to have it too often, quite frankly. On another occasion that I got it, I was also face down under my desk in my office in Hawaii, and I wanted to know what to say to a group of Christian Building Contractors Association that met on Monday mornings once every month. And I had been asked by the president to come speak to them, and I didn't know what the heck I was going to say. And I got the topic while I was on my base. Again, I'd been fasting for about 3 or 4 days. At that time, it wasn't startling. It's disconcerting. You know, when you think you're hearing voices, it's not a pleasant experience initially, because you're wondering if you're crazy or if you're listening to some know, someone from the dark side, so to speak.
Right. So, Brad, I think I'd like to hear maybe some more outtakes of your new book, and I think that our audience would, too. I think it would be give them a good idea of whether or not it's subject matter that they're willing to pursue, and whether it's an avenue that they want to learn more about. The best way, of course, is to get the book, and we'll put that up really soon. But in the meantime, are you willing to continue on and provide us with another excerpt and have some more conversation around it?
Do you think that'll be valuable?
I do.
Yes.
Okay. I look forward to your next excerpt. Thanks, Brad.
Goodbye.